Miriam?
Miriam.
Miriam.
Okay, with an A.
No, like Miriam.
No, like, no, like Moses.
A. Jesus, okay. Yeah, she did it somewhere.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and your grace. We thank you for your might and for your peace, for your grace and your mercy. Just encourage us and strengthen us and believe us into how to live our lives and how to conduct ourselves. We bring you all praise, honor, and glory. Let us do your name. And in all things, look, we would be certain to give you all the praise, all the honor of the glory. Let us do your name. And in holiness and righteousness, that we might serve you and live you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
So before we begin today, let's take a moment to see if there's any questions people have that we'd first take a look at. Okay. Good afternoon, Joe.
Hey, Joe.
Hi, how do you do?
How do you
do? Okay, so... So we're going to take a look at addiction today and how to overcome addiction to understand what we need to do. So when you think of addictions, what do you typically think of?
Alcohol, drugs. Yeah, when I thought of tobacco, I think it's so.
Yeah, most people think of alcohol and drugs, and typically they won't go beyond that. And so we're going to take a look at that. And there's a lot of other addictions as well.
Oh, yeah. Sugar. Eating.
So we're going to take a look at some addictions. And first we're going to take a look at understanding, well, just what exactly is an addiction before we look into it, we need to understand what it is. We're going to go to Proverbs 23, 31 to 35.
I like this.
Yeah. Well, this verse says anything, but it is the essence and the core of addiction.
Yeah.
Proverbs 23, 31 to 35.
31 to 35.
Look not upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moves itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stings like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lies down in the midst of the sea, or as he lies upon the top of the mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will see it again.
So to me, this is the very definition, scripturally, at least illustration-wise, of addiction. This happens to be an addiction to alcohol. So this is an alcohol addiction. Now, why do I say so if you have an addiction, it's something that's right?
therefore your members, which are upon the earth, fornication, unclean, ornament, affection, evil, and speech, and sometimes and selfishness, which is desire. So,
this is getting a little more. Thank you.
more prevalent in the last 15 years. Why? So, you've got that aspect of it that is considered normative, but there's another aspect of things that really
Thank you.
Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?
Now, while Peter was involved with not addictive in any sense of the word, what was the problem that could lead him into, that could lead people to an addiction?
Little faith.
Okay, little faith. Taking your eyes off of Christ. Okay. Putting the things of this world ahead of the things of God. Okay. But in all those things, what's happening is you're losing track of what's important. And so you're operating not by faith, but you're operating by flesh. And what ends up happening with addictive behavior is it becomes so much part of your routine. It is what you do when you're not thinking. And that's one of the problems with addictive behavior. Okay? It's just what you do. With me, one of my addictions, obviously, is I love to eat. Actually, I don't love to eat. I just eat. Because I don't even think about it. I just get up, I'll walk around my house, and, oh, there's a cookie. Okay, down the cookie. And what happens is I fall into an automatic mode. I just do automatically instead of thinking about what I'm doing. And, you know, and I've admitted it before, it's a struggle, it's a problem we have. And what we have to do is what we're looking at is putting things back into perspective. Is getting Christ really first in all aspects of life. And that's the challenge. Because every one of us, if we're honest with ourselves, is a part of our life that if we're really to evaluate what Christ does not reign supreme in that area of our life. And with some people, it's some of their business affairs where everything that they do in their life seems to be right on with respect to holiness and godliness, but by God, we get them involved with their work business, and they're going to cut corners in order to save money, in order to make more money, in order to lower, whether it's to lower their costs, provide more benefits, whatever it is. Some of the things that they will be honoring and glorifying to God, but the way you think to do them will not necessarily be that way. But it's operating in a form or a type of automatic mode. Taking the eyes off of Christ and off of God and doing what just seems to fit naturally. Romans 7:18-23.
Romans 7:18-23. Mm-hmm. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find in the law, that is when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members.
Okay, we're going to go into another translation. Verse 20 is very awkward. And NAS is not too bad, but if I am doing the very thing I do not wish to do, I am no longer the one doing it, but sin dwells within me. Verse 19, for the good that I wish to do, I do not do, but I practice very evil that I do not wish to do. So verse 19 and 20 is very much interesting. And because we're trying to understand the use of the word would and will and as intent and desire. And so here, Paul is with respect to his behavior, he's having a struggle. What's the struggle?
He knows what's good, but he has a tendency within a person to do what he knows wrong.
Right. And that's one of those things that drives addictive behavior. I know what I need to do, but this driving force of, as Paul would say, the flesh is so strong that I yield to the flesh rather than pursue after the spirit. Okay. Which all of these things lead us to start understanding what we have to do in order to overcome addictive behavior, which is what we're going to really take a look at now. in order to overcome the addiction, what will we need to do, or what changes need to take place in our lives in order to deal with that addiction behavior? And we've been through some of these in a backward fashion. Let's take a look at some of these things. Genesis 3, 4 through 6.
Genesis chapter 3, verses 4 through 6. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, and your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat.
So what is it that we need to do to begin the process of overcoming evil? Or overcoming addiction behavior?
Trust and believe in God.
Okay, trust and believe in God. So what was the desire that Satan was trying to get man and woman to do? What was his goal?
To have them not trust God, but not be faithful.
And so what is the first step towards that we see it? And it's common in all cultures, but it's almost like America is, to a certain degree, to excel at it, is that rugged individualism, right? In a lot of cultures, you have the tribal community, where the community as a whole operates as a unit, right? And in the United States, it's very much, you're your own individual, you can do what you want. That's the same play that Satan is making. You can be your own God. You can decide for yourself what's right or wrong, what's good or bad, what's evil. Right? You are the one who determines your fate and your future. None of this other stuff that has anything to do with it, but it's all about you. And here we have a direct assault on the authority. Satan is communicating to this woman, God really is trying to keep you from the greatest and glorious things that you could be doing. I mean, just imagine if you yourself would have all the might and power that God has. Well, you can have it, but God doesn't want you to know that you can have it. So that's the message that Satan does. Now, we know the rest of the passage, some of the other parts of this passage here, but remember what Satan does here. He raises up the question, what is it, in verse 3, did God wrote in verse 2, in verse 1, has God really said, you shall not eat of the fruit of every tree in the garden? And so he is taking what God did say, and he is questioning God's authority. And he is trying to replace that authority with you. So the first thing that we need to comprehend and come to terms with is, we're not God. Okay? We don't know everything. God does. God knows what is best for me better than I know what's best for me. And that's the challenge that we have to get to the point of back into God is the one who knows all and communicates all. And so he is the one I need to yield to. He's the one that I need to follow after.
It seemed like he was appealing after their pride.
Oh, he's definitely appealing after their pride. Okay, their pride of self-determination, their pride of self-control.
Satan, that's why he was kicked out of heaven, right? Pride, he wanted to be like God.
Well, he tried to exalt himself above God.
And he tried to get Adam and Eve to think they could be gods too.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Sin begets sin.
And it's happening all over the place. Right now, I have heard of at least 3 people that are trying to communicate to a group of people that they are Jesus Christ come back. And what's really weird is one of them has tattooed on his body 666. And says it's not the number of the Antichrist, but it's the number of the perfect man. Bible says other ones, but hey, let's not get confused with God and what God has to say. And so there are these people that are so
enamored with themselves, they truly believe that they are God incarnate. These guys are messed up. So we need to come to grips of the reality that we're not God. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, most of us already know this by hand, by mind, by heart.
Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and in thy hunger, then you understand it. And in all ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct that path.
Now, for people with addictive behavior, do you think that there are general triggers to their addiction, or signs that they're heading towards their addiction?
Triggers,
yes.
Do what?
Are there signs or triggers saying that they are about to dive into their addictive behavior?
They
lean on their own understanding. They're doing what comes natural out of them. They don't know what to do about a particular situation. They get frustrated. They get bent out of shape on something. And so they start down the path of pursuing after their addictive behavior because in their mind, it makes them feel better. Okay? What they're not understanding is it's they're not the one in control of the situation. You will have people, say for example, that are addicts, that, I can stop anytime I want to. And which may or may not be true, the reality is well, they're not stopping and they know what's harmful for them. But this also leads us to what do we have to do in order to fix the problem? Okay, we have to get to the point of truly understanding we're not God. We are not capable of self-determining our future. So then what do we have to do with that?
It's called stinking thinking. You got to get your mind on the Lord. And think of those, whatever's true, whatever's good virtue, whatever's lovely. Think on these things.
So we have to turn our mind and our attention to the things of God. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. So we've got to think on what are the things of God. We've got to evaluate what we're going to do in light of God. One of the things that we can do, and I'll get to that in a little bit as well, in a little more direct fashion, but really, and it's one of those things I've got to work on as well, is getting proactive before doing what you know is going to lead you down a slippery slope. Just ask God, God, is this what you want me to do?
And don't put yourself in positions where you can be tempted to go down the road. You should not go to a bar. Unless you're going
to
drink.
Yeah, one of the things to me, and it could be self-rationalization, I don't know, a food addiction is one of the hardest to deal with. Why? When it comes to alcohol, you can bypass the aisle in the store with the alcohol. You can not go to the bar. If someone brings out alcohol at a party, you can get up and leave. Same thing with things like caffeine, tobacco, other drugs. It is conceptually possible to avoid the situation. Mm-hmm. How do you avoid eating? I'll give an anti-plug for one of those dietary systems, Nutrisystem. My parents went on that for a while. They had some stuff left over and getting rid of them, so we went on it for just a little bit. And we understand why people lose weight on Nutrisystem. When all you eat is cardboard, you don't want to eat. And when you don't eat, you will lose weight. There is a solution. I wouldn't recommend going that way. But the reality is, before we engage in an activity, we need to search out from God and say, God, is this according to your will and your work?
You know what my doctor told me? Mm-hmm. He said, you got to have balance.
Yes.
And he said, in the morning, I want you to have one egg, one piece of toast, and a glass of orange juice. Mm-hmm. And for your lunch, you can have a cup of soup and a half a sandwich. And at night, you get 4 or 5 ounces of meat, a vegetable, and what was that?
Potato.
And after 2 or 3 days, I was almost dead.
Yeah.
No, not feel like I was. I did lose weight, like you said.
Yeah.
Well, see, I found a way. It was great on one hand. When I was sick for 10 months, for about 4 or 5 weeks, I pretty much ate nothing because I couldn't. Mm-hmm. We even tried chicken broth. I could not drink chicken broth. As soon as I tried to drink it, I would start coughing, and I would cough for 20 minutes. Well, when that's the ramifications of eating, you tend not to eat. And I did lose quite a bit of weight, unfortunately, most of that. It's getting to that point of saying, you know what, God, this is your temple. How do I utilize this temple for your honor and glory? The thing that I'm about to do, I'm thinking of doing, is that honoring to you? Is that glorifying to you?
Yes. You know, Jesus said, I always like to do what pleases my Father. Mm-hmm. I want to do His will. And if I could say that in all my...
we're going to jump ahead to a different one. Joshua 9:14. Now we'll go back to the things. I remember. The reason for that, let's sort of just jump into it. Joshua 9:14.
Okay. And the men took up their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord.
Okay, so here's a body of the people of God who are attempting to determine the truth of the situation, and they determine it based upon what they see. I mean, if someone came to you and said, I've been traveling a long distance, and you know, this bread was taken hot from the oven, and now it's moldy, and these shoes are brand spanking new, and when we left for this journey and looked, they're falling apart, and they're all dusty and mucky, and the clothes are all tattered and shredded, and you're all filthy and dirty. Now, would you believe that they traveled for a long time?
Oh, yes.
Absolutely. But what you don't know is that the guy just outside your camp put on the bad shoes and took the moldy bread, and so they only walked 50 feet. But it's the representation. Now, what was the problem here that Joshua forgot to do? As counsel of God. God is His truth. Now, there's other ways that they could have solved this solution as well. They said, you know, as long as you live outside of our area, we'll make peace with you. But if we find out that you live within our area, we will remove you from our presence. But what they didn't do is seek counsel of the Lord and say, are they telling the truth? And they didn't make a conditional agreement with them. They made an unconditional agreement. Heaven, we will protect you. We will be on your side, on your team. And then they found out they're in their area. And they got messed up because they didn't ask of God. And so the only thing they're going to do is ask God. God, what do you want me to do? God, how do you want me to function? God, is this right in your eyes? Seeking counsel continually from God. Philippians 4:4-7. We're not even in whatever passage. We used to tell Candace that that was her key verse. Why? Whatever. Okay, Philippians 4:4-7.
Oh, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, that your request is made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Verse 8, what?
Verse 8 is what's the last favorite?
Oh!
And that's part of the solution is to thank God, right? With verse 8. But verses 4 through 7 deals with what situation? How do we So taking your request. The in Paul continue of communication with God, saying, God, is this what you want me to do? How you want me to do it?
That's what I think in Proverbs says, whatever man thinketh in his heart, that's where he's going to go, right? Face reflects face, heart reflects heart, you know.
So what you think? I'm going to add, because of time, I've got plenty of time, so we're going to add another one. James chapter 5, verse 16.
Hey, 5 verse 16. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
And so, what can we do there to help us with our addictions?
Help brothers in the church.
Yeah. So you give someone an accountability partner of sorts to help you be accountable. Now, in things like NA, AA and NA and GA and ABCDEFA, all those things, one of the things they have is sort of that accountability partner built into the system. It's your sponsor, and it's someone basically you feel like these tendencies are coming on, you call your sponsor, and you talk, and he helps talk you out of it, and you talk you through it. And so, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes has a similar concept. Ecclesiastes 4. 9 through 12.
Two are better than one because they get a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his pillow, but woe to him that is alone when he falls, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have a heap, but how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quicken him.
Okay. So what we have here again is types or mechanisms of accountability. You're going through a tough struggle, going through it with somebody else, and you can lean on and trust one another and hold each other accountable. During the process, you're more likely to succeed. One of the challenges that you've got to deal with respect to accountability is that when you try to hold your partner accountable, they're not getting angry and upset with you because you're holding them accountable, which can happen. It's generally why the sponsor or accountability partner is someone who's already gone through the process and by God's grace has passed through the process rather than two that are struggling through the process together. Right? Because when you're struggling through it together, you can sometimes feed on your own weaknesses and facilitate the weaknesses that you're going through because, well, it sounds like fun to me. Right? And so, ultimately, the answer to overcoming addiction is you need to become Christ-focused and remember and understand that you're not, fate is not really in your hand, but it relies upon you trusting God and relying upon Him. It may facilitate and is probably often, especially if it's, well, a lot of addictions are probably better off when you have someone else to help you, to walk you through the process, to help keep you from falling. Someone that you know will be there that is not going to speak down to you. So you idiot, how dare, you know, what are you doing this again? And at the same time, it's not someone who's going to jump in with you. Sounds like fun, let's go! Right? If you're an alcohol addict and you feel like you want a drink and you call up your compatibility or your accountability partner and say, you know, I've got this real desire for a drink. You say, well, can we talk about it over a shot of whiskey? And it's like, I'm not quite the accountability partner you want. Because he's willing to dive in with you. And so that's the problem that you have. Now, sometimes it can work because, well, one is weak, the other is strong. So you help out each other. And so that is one of those things that you would need. And you need to find a way to communicate effectively now. I had someone that was struggling with alcohol addiction, and he would send me an email at 2 in the morning what's the benefit of an email at 2 in the morning?
Well, if you don't know about it, then...
I can't even try to help out. And this particular person wouldn't send one email, but would send 15 to 20 emails within about a 2-minute period. So it's hard to communicate well. Download and stuff. And so you have to find a way to communicate with those that you're helping, that you're going to be accountability with, and the person that you're looking for to help you hold you accountable needs to agree to be willing to help hold you accountable. Right? It wouldn't do any good for me to suddenly call up at 2 in the morning, Joe, and say, you know, Joe, I've got this craving for this big old chunk of chicken. You know, you want to help me with this? Because I think, what are you calling me for?
Go for it.
The others in the other
more cookies.
So there needs to be some understanding if you have accountability. I know there are a lot of people that will say you don't need accountability partners, which you need is just price. But, you know, as the old saying goes with respect to the little kids, sometimes you need Jesus with skin on. Right? You need that extra person that will hold you accountable, because in the back of your mind, you know God sees all. But in your continuing thought process, it's sort of like what Pastor refers to with Moses. He looked to the left, he looked to the right, but he forgot to look up. We don't see God, and so we don't necessarily think, well, God is seeing this, God is watching this. One of those things out of sight, out of mind. Any other thoughts, suggestions, comments? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word and for your grace. We thank you for the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ to transform our lives and remove us from our evil and wicked ways. And I pray, Father, that we would each have strength to turn towards you or turn to our friends or family to help us through the weaknesses that we have. Paul confessed that there are things that he desired to do, but for whatever reason, he found in himself not the ability to actually do them and accomplish them. But he also found the struggle to do things that he knew were wrong in your eyes. He found himself continuing to do those things. Lord, I pray that you would help us to do those things with pleasure, to find ways to attack the problems and the challenges that we have in our lives in all ways, and in all things, to give you all praise, honor, and glory. That we would seek counsel from you, continue, and guidance from you, that we may do only those things which honor you. Bless us, Lord, and strengthen us to your namesake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.